And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Joshua and chapter 6. Joshua and chapter 6. So, perhaps we can look to the Lord. Father and God, we've opened thy word, looking to you, Spirit of God. Make it help us. You've been there, and you need to help us understand what we're to learn, what we're to understand, that we would have the advantage as we live, as we abide our time on planet Earth. And our God, we thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. And in our exercise, in the book of Joshua at this point, doing what we have done, and Israel, now in order to capture that and keep that in mind, now in order to enjoy God, in order to enjoy God's holy, happy, heavenly person, in order to enjoy him, you have to honor him. And he wants you to be holy as he is holy. In other words, he wants no flesh shall glory in his presence. Period. So therefore, in order to enjoy God, you have to honor his saving grace that God does a wonderful thing to help you understand as you don't try to trust yourself, trust your world system. You aren't doing any of that. You're going to let God be who he is in your heart, in your life, and you're going to enjoy it. And you're going to understand Christ crucified the flesh. He condemned all of evil, all of bad. He condemned it. Now, with that little bit in mind, here we are in the book of Joshua. And in the book of Joshua, we're looking at the destruction of the city of Jericho, the total destruction of the city of Jericho. And having done so, we need to remind ourselves of little things as we're doing this. Time, the clock, counts the moments. All the while, the moments are passing away. You can't stop the clock. It just goes. The calendar just goes. You can't stop it. Time has to happen. Time has to be fulfilled. And as all of that's happening, the fashion of this world passes away. Now, and we did that, and we reminded ourselves we're on planet Earth, and the sun rises and the sun sets, and people are born and they die, and the sun rises and the sun sets, and people are born and they die. That's what they do. It's our time. It was Israel's time. In Israel's time, God was going to do a wonderful thing. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He was going to make them a nation under Moses. A nation. To what? Deuteronomy chapter 4. To show the whole world that what God wants, God died on the cross to make it so that all nations could enjoy what Israel was supposed to be enjoying. Now, having said that, and so wherefore we know what? People are born spiritually dead. That means they have no relationship to God. They're in a body that is dying. Spiritually dead, and we're in a body that is dying. We're in that body. And so in the process, failure to receive Christ leaves us in a state of spiritual death. So we need to know the Lord as our Savior, and that's important. And keeping that in mind, So they're going to have it. God has to do with Jericho. He does what he does in order to help Israel understand what we're trying to look at. So here we are looking. God, all humans have their time and place on planet Earth, and Israel had theirs. And they crossed the Jordan, as it were, and they're to take over the land. And in the process, keep in mind, Romans chapter 2, everyone, Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3, all the world is guilty before God, because God makes himself known in a most wonderful, wonderful way to know him. So everyone knows. And God holds them all accountable. He holds them all accountable. And therefore, as we looked at it, and God is patient, and we looked at Genesis 6, Genesis 11, etc. And all of history shows humans, no matter what the condition, no matter what the situation, they're always with. If you leave God out, you're going downhill. And it keeps going downhill. So that, as Timothy would say, you all are being deceived. Being deceived, they are deceived, they're being deceived. It waxes worse and worse. It gets better and better. It doesn't get good. In Revelation chapter 9 and all of that, it gets bad. It doesn't get good. That's where we're going, down the corridor of time. You can't get good. You leave God out, you can't come out good. You can't come out good. It comes out bad. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, now, go over with me, please. We're looking at this, before you do that, chapter 6, Joshua, verse 17. Remember now, they shouted, the wall came down flat, and the Israelites they didn't have to climb over everything. They just walked straight across wherever they were standing into the city. Now, so Joshua chapter 6, verse 17. And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all her that are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Verse 18, and ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed. When you take of the accursed thing, not only are you going to be in trouble, but if you go back into the tribe of Israel, the tribe of Israel's in trouble. The whole tribe, the whole nation of Israel. So don't, when I separate something, a curse, it's accursed to be separated, think of the lawnmower, a mower, cutting down the grass, cutting down the scythe, the sickle, cutting it all down, to cut a sword. You take a sword and you cut the enemy. You cut the enemy down. That's what you do. So now, that's the word accursed, to set something aside for destruction, to set it aside so you don't touch it. It's accursed, a curse. And if you go, I'm helping you understand. I want you to understand. They are all evil. They have no intent of getting right. They don't intend to get right. If I give them another 100 years, they'll still be the same. They'll still be the same and worse. So God said, I gave them all this history, and now it's my time to take the land of Israel, the city of Jerusalem, to put a temple, and I'm going to put myself there in Israel, using Israel, to show all the nations. And therefore, all the land has to be holy. And you know what from Deuteronomy we read? Not only the ground God said, I'm going to walk up and down the city, up and down the land, up and down between the tribes, like he does in the church, Revelation chapter 2. Up and down, up and down. He said, I want the ground to be clean. I want everything clean, Deuteronomy 23. I want it all clean. It's holy. It's my ground. It's where I am. Now, and having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, go over with me, please, to Deuteronomy and in chapter 20. In Deuteronomy and in chapter 20. And you'll remember, Israel has an assignment. And in the process, their assignment. So we shared all these things. So you know it. They said, God said it over and over and over again, what they had to do in order to enjoy what God was going to do and to have a good experience. You're going to have to go when I do what I tell you. And therefore, Deuteronomy chapter 20, as you would guess, verse 16. But of the cities of these people, that's the where you're going to be, where you're going to live, which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance. Thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth, but thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. And now it's going to give you the reason that they teach you not to do after all their abominations, even the death of children, which they have done unto their gods. So should ye sin against the Lord your God. Therefore, you're going to go in and you're going to clean that city. What are they going to do in Jericho? It's a cursed city, judged. Nothing take out of it. Everything dies. Man, woman, child, everyone dies. All of them die. It has to be. Now, and in order to see the word accursed, separated to destruction, etc., go over with me to Habakkuk. Over to Habakkuk, and in chapter 1. And in the process, here we're looking at Habakkuk. Habakkuk lives in the days of Jeremiah. He's looking like Zephaniah and Ezekiel and Daniel. He's looking out at Babylon coming and doing what it's doing. And therefore, in his little right, God uses him to help us understand. So, what is the Israelite saying? We're looking at Nebuchadnezzar coming into the land. So therefore, what do you expect? Habakkuk chapter 1, if I can, in verse 5. Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which you will not believe, though it be told you. I'm going to do something with Nebuchadnezzar, etc. I'm going to take Nebuchadnezzar, keep going, Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 6, for lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their indignity shall proceed of them. Their horses are swifter. Their horses also are swifter than leopards. They are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from afar. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteneth to eat. Nebuchadnezzar is going to come in, and devastate Jerusalem and devastate all the people in and about. That's what he's going to do. Nebuchadnezzar's going to do that. God said he's coming. And so Habakkuk sees that. And then Habakkuk says, sliding over to verse 12, Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Art thou of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity? Therefore, lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he. And Habakkuk wants to know, how, God, are you going to let this all happen? Yes, he is. Now, over, if I can, I'll read verse 14. Thou makest men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no rule over them. So he's going to use the illustration of humans being like fish in the ocean. Now, verse 15. They take up, all of them, their angle, like a fish hook. They take up all their angle, and they catch them in their net, and gather them in their drag, like the trawling. Therefore, they rejoice and are glad. In other words, they're out there fishing with their net and their hooks, and they're dragging in all the people. Nebuchadnezzar's going to come in and rape, like going on a fishing trip. He's going to put his net down and bring everything in. That's what he's going to do. That's our word. Therefore, verse 18, therefore, they sacrifice unto thee their net. The word net is the word curse, accursed. Net, to be accursed, accursed. They take up their net. Verse 16, therefore, they sacrifice unto their net. In other words, their net, their power, their being able to devastate, they honor their God. They honor the net. They honor their idolatry. We did it, Nebuchadnezzar and all of its idolatry. And burn incense unto their drag, the trowel, because by them their portion is fat and their meat is plenteous food. They got plenty. They bring in the net. They're going to conquer Israel. They did. Oh, boy, did they do it. They came in. Verse 17. Shall they therefore empty their net? Do you want them to quit and not spare continually to slay the nations? And you know from Jeremiah and that, God tells you, Nebuchadnezzar was allowed to be at the top of the pile and do what he did. But he overly did, like all of them. And in the process, God did what? Then comes Media Persia to take over them. Media Persia taken over by Greece. Greece taken over by Rome. And here we are waiting for the Antichrist. Now, and so here we are looking at God's judgment and the tribulation, etc. And the iniquity of the heart of the land of in Palestine, like in Genesis chapter 15, 400 years have gone by, 430 years have gone by, and what are we going to do? We're going to take the land. That's what we're going to do. I gave them 400 years to fix things, the Amorites. They didn't fix them in 400 years. They aren't going to fix them in 500 years. Clean the city out. Level the city. I leveled the city for you to go in and do what I asked you to do. Have no mercy. Just do what you have to do. Now, what I told you to do in a most wonderful way. And therefore, in the process of that, and so there, God doing what he does the way he does it in the process, keeping that in mind. And remember now, God owns everything. From square one. There's nothing. Genesis, God creates everything that we can talk about in the world system. It all is God's from start to finish. He is the owner. He owns the air. He owns us. He owns the pews. He owns it all. All of it answers to him. And therefore, he has to manage it, since he owns it. And there is no one else besides him. He has to manage that which he owns. And it always stays his. It never belongs to anybody else. The city is accursed. Within. And only Rahab is going to get free. And God is going to go and send the sword and the scythe and the sickle and send it all in to separate them. And God is going to separate the people. You cannot leave them in the city. They will corrupt you. All you got to do is leave one of them, believe in what they do, and it'll happen. It'll happen. And you'll be swallowed up because you, after all, you're humans. You've got the same old nature. And I'm bringing you into the land. And you're having to learn to trust me. So your old nature is very susceptible to getting in trouble. So therefore, clean the city out. Level it in every way. So therefore, it's an anathema to curse, to destroy. Stop all idolatry, all idols, and forbid them in every way, shape, and form. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, for all is under the curse. All is under the curse. The thing that is to be forbidden, I'm telling you what it is, I don't want any of that city left. No one in that city left. And it is devoted to destruction. Anathema. That it's God's. That's my city. It's my will. I have been gracious to all the people. There's no need of being any more gracious. You know from Matthew, we read it, Matthew, the tribulation, Matthew 25, 24. If I didn't shorten the tribulation, I wouldn't have anybody left. If I let it go 8 years, 9 years, who knows what it would be like? No. 7 years is enough tribulation. That's all. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over, if you would please, to the book of Leviticus. If I can, open Leviticus and chapter 27. And we're looking at our word, accursed, to be cursed. Now, things that are accursed, we don't want to touch them. Now, we want to put that together a little bit. And in Leviticus chapter 27, if I can, in 27, looking if I may, chapter 27, picking up please, if I may, chapter 27, and going if I can to verse 26. Only the first thing of the beast, which should be the Lord's first thing. No man shall sanctify it. No man shall sanctify it. If it be an ox, a sheep, it is the Lord's. Now, and without doing all of that, what do we know? The first of everything. Israel wants to understand what? You don't sanctify it. It's already sanctified. It's already sanctified. The first is mine. The first of everything is mine. To remind you that all other nine, all the rest of it belongs to me. So you give me first because I own the rest and you understand it. So what are they to do? They were to go and understand that. And so when they give something to God, and when God sets it apart, the first belongs to God. And now, verse 27. And if it be of an unclean beast, then ye shall redeem it according to thine estimation, and shall add a fifth part of it thereto. Or if it be not redeemed, then it shall be sold according to thy estimation. And we did all this, remember, when we did the book of Leviticus. Verse 28, notwithstanding, no devoted thing, devoted, cursed, set apart, no devoted thing that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he hath, both of man and beast, and of the field of his possession, shall he be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing that's cursed and set apart, every devoted thing shall be surely, in verse 28, every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord. It's God's. And what you understand, everything belongs to God. He's the owner. And he manages it to outwork his will. You can't have the outworking of God's saving grace without God's doing it on Calvary's cross, etc., to make it all come out right. And if you put away the cross and don't have the cross, what do you got? All you've got. We're born spiritually dead. We are dying. And we're going to become eternally spiritually dead. That's what you got. So God said, you don't want that. I died on the cross to save you. So now, picking it up, chapter 27, if I can, in verse 8, verse 29, and none devoted, which shall be devoted of men, shall be redeemed, but shall surely be put to death, curse. If I have it, you can never have it. It's mine. You do not take that which is holy and mine and try to take it for yourself in the flesh, in the world. You don't do that. What is idolatry? What is idolatry? Idols. Idolatry is taking all that God has made and taking it into our own hands and seeking to understand it and honor. We honor the sun, we worship, people do the sun, the stars, all kinds of things in idolatry. And we offer children, they did, to sacrifice to their gods. Where's that from? That's from the idolatry of the human heart. God said, I cannot have that. It is not. I died on the cross, Genesis 3:15, to save Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel and everyone else if they would believe. But they aren't believing. And they can't louse up what I'm trying to do. I'm seeking to save whosoever's. And therefore, if I'm going to have Israel as a nation to be a light in that of a lighthouse to all the nations around it, I must have it holy. They must have no idolatry. If there's idolatry, there's no God. If there's an idolatry, there is no light. If your old nature is going to be at the front, then you don't enjoy God's wonderful life in a most holy, wonderful, wonderful way. So we need to understand God. It is wonderful, wonderful grace. Deuteronomy and chapter 13. And in Deuteronomy chapter 13, picking up to verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 13 and in verse 6. And you'll see it. I'm going to go to verse 6 in the light of the context. If thy brother, thy son, or thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did do it, And you want them to go if someone comes along in the family and wants to go in a wrong direction. Verse 7. Namely, of the gods of the people, the idolatry, which are found round about, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. All they are humans doing what they're doing without God. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him. Don't listen. Don't listen to what he's trying to get you to do. Don't do it. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him. Neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shall thou spare, neither shall thou conceal him. But thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death. You be the first one to kill him. You'll be the first. That's personal. He tried to get you into idolatry, and he's pushing it. Again, verse 9. But thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. And thou shalt stone him with stones, that he die. Because, why? Because he has sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, to get you to go and trust something else and something other than in God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And all Israel shall hear and fear and do no more any such wickedness as this is among you. And thou shalt hear say in one of the cities which the Lord thy God giveth thee to dwell, they are saying, and you hear it, concerning men, the children of Belial are gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city. They're saying, let us go and serve other gods which you have not known. Verse 14, then shall thou inquire and make search and ask diligently, and behold, if it is true, and the thing is certain, that such an abomination is wrought among you. That's why God says in Joshua chapter 6, verse 18, don't touch the accursed thing. Don't take anything out of this city at all. Don't touch it. Leave it. Leave it. It's accursed. And if you touch it and take it, you'll bring the curse onto yourself and you're in trouble. If your son gets into idolatry, then, and he shouldn't have, but if he does, then hang on. Now that's what they had to do. So picking up, if I may, in verse 15, thou shalt surely smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, destroying it utterly, and all that is therein, and the cattle thereof with the edge of the sword. And thou shalt gather all the spoil to it into the midst of the street of thereof, and shall burn the city, burn with fire the city, and all the spoil thereof, every whit, for the Lord thy God, it shall be an heap, a pile, forever. It shall not be built again. Now, if you were going back to chapter 6, we don't have time. If we did that, back chapter 6, what did Joshua do? God leveled the city, they killed the people, and then they took everything in the city and burned it. They burned it. They did what they were supposed to do. Now, having said that little bit, you're getting the idea. And verse 17, and there shall cleave not aught, the cleave aught of the cursed thing in to thy hand, that the Lord may turn from his fierceness, from the fierceness of his anger, and show thee mercy, and have compassion on thee, and multiply thee, as he has sworn to thy fathers. Don't hold it. God says, I warn you, don't get into the accursed thing, because you'll become cursed. And you're going to pay a price for it. So you don't want to do that. Now, and so therefore, over, if I can, in the idea, over to Romans in chapter 9. Romans in chapter 9, if I may. And, see it? Easy. counts. And chapter 9. They pick up the thought. And at least, I hope you're getting a little bit. I'm trying to get it so you see it. It just has to be. You may not like it. It has to be. It just has to be. God crucified you. He took your old nature to the cross. And so all of your good thoughts and all of your bad thoughts and all of everything about us that is there, when God is left out, all that we have is the old nature and God's judgment. No flesh shall glory in my presence. That's all we got. Our good thoughts are bad thoughts, but good thoughts aren't God's thoughts. So, here's Romans chapter 9. At least you get a little inkling of it. Here's Paul. Paul, do you understand it? Paul is saved in the body of Christ. He's a Jew in the body of Christ. So chapter 9, verse 1, 9, 10, and 11 about Israel. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing my witness, be witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continued sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed. I wish my good self, God would curse me and do what he did to Jericho. I could wish that myself were accursed from God. For my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, Israel should be believing, but they aren't believing. They aren't believing, said Paul. I would sacrifice myself to have the whole nation believe, but that wouldn't do it. Verse 4. For who are Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Verse 5. Those whose are the fathers and to whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever, amen. And here's Israel, his wonderful, wonderful Israel. You have everything, and you aren't believing. And therefore, God, in his wonderful, wonderful grace, sliding over to verse 21, I'll read verse 20. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? You're going to speak against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, does the piece of pottery say to the God who made it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he hath afore prepared unto glory? God is judging Israel. Wherever it is, God's judging Israel. And in the process, said Paul, who benefits in it? We do. Let me keep reading. If I can. Verse 23 again. That he might make known the riches of the glory of his of the vessels of on the vessels of mercy, that's us, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. And you keep reading. God did whatever. Paul said, I could wish people would do it, but God, it didn't do any good. They have everything I had. And I chose God, said Paul. They did not. They did not believe. And therefore, I can't be accursed. They are accursed. And I can't change it. Paul said, I can't change. Israel has to go through the great tribulation, etc., etc. And we don't have time to do it in Matthew 24 and all of that. God said, do you understand? It all has to happen. It has to go where it's going. God said it's the only way it could go right. I told them, you had to be holy. And they didn't believe me. And what has happened? The Assyrians came along and took the 2 tribes in the north, 10 tribes in the north. And the Babylonians came along and took Judah and Benjamin, and they took them. I told you. As long as you get, you remember the, you know, 1 Samuel chapter 8, what did they say to Samuel? We want to be like the other nations. We want to be like them. And that's where they were, where they're at. You wanted to be like them. And it was the wrong thing. I got to quit. Do you understand a little? Accursed. Don't touch the accursed thing. When I curse it, don't touch it. It's mine. And in fact, I want to eliminate it. 1 Peter, be holy, for I am holy. And you're a sojourner, verse 17, chapter 1, Peter. You're a sojourner on earth. This isn't your home. The world hates you. You're on your way home. And with fear and trembling, go down the corridor of time. That's what you're doing. Don't want to be like them. God saved you. You're in the world, but not of the world. You want to be there. You don't want to be like them. You don't want to get where they are. Wow. You just don't want to be where they're going. So, our Father and God, we thank you for your word, your grace, and everything. Help us as we try to understand and put it all together more and more for better and better, that we would have the advantage. God, we don't want to get sucked into the system to try to say, well, it doesn't matter. When God said, listen, I saved you out of the system, you said, God, so that we could walk with you and talk with you and trust you and be a little light in the darkness. So God, help us in every way, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.